Good morning. Good morning. Yes. Thank you, worship team. Thank you so much for leading us this morning. We're continuing our series, as Kim says, called Renovate, and it's really kind of become the theme of our new year. It's kind of become the theme of this new year, 2018, and so we're kind of excited about that, because I believe that God wants to renovate our hearts. I told you last week, I think, or you know, throughout the series, that you know, when you get to be my age and you've been in, you know, following God as long as I have, you think you're okay, right? You don't think there needs to be any major stuff changed or whatever. And as we kind of begin to step into this new year, God began to kind of just whisper into my heart, Monty, there's some renovation I need to do in your life. And here's what I know about renovation, right? And you know about it as well. Any kind of renovation project, demolition comes and precedes renovation. And so God's having to do some demolition, some demos in my lives, and tearing some walls down. And it's not easy, right? It's not easy, and sometimes it's painful when you begin to take some old things that are going on and put new and get them out of the way so that the new can come. Paul says it this way, is our theme verse for the series in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, Jesus died for everyone so that those who received his new life will no longer live for themselves. It's not all about, you know, me, you know, Monty. It's not all about, you know, that our selfish spirit. It says, instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. And then in verse 17, he says, therefore, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, demolition, right? A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. As I've said each week, Jesus wants to bring true renovation to you today and every day hereafter. There's no limit to how he wants to use you for the purpose that he has for your life. There's nothing that he wouldn't do, no place he wouldn't go to free you. He went all the way to the cross so that you and I could live in his grace. And he wants us to live free so that you'll live out who he designed you to be. And as we begin this new year, I want to encourage you every week to just kind of embrace what needs to be renovated in your lives, in your heart, in your relationships with God and others. Because he wants to renovate you so that he can begin to prepare you for more than you could ever ask or imagine. Begin to prepare you for the unique purpose that he has for your life. So I've been giving you a little peek into the renovation that's been going on and he's been doing in my life. We started off by talking about needing to refocus our priorities. You know, I had to get to a place, need to get to a place where he is first in every area of my life. And, you know, and not just Jesus then my marriage, but it's Jesus in my marriage. It's not just Jesus then my career, it's Jesus in my career. Does that make sense? That he wants to be first, the center of every area of my life. You know, my finances, my interests, my relationships, my service, my time. First in every area of my life. And then last week, one of the hardest messages for me was he wants to reorder my thoughts. To reorder my thoughts, to get me to a place where I have the strength and the confidence to allow him to come in and help me take captive every thought and to make it obedient to Christ. So that when things, you know, thoughts come my way that I know aren't pleasing to God, or I know, you know, that are negative toward me, that I can just have the strength of the Holy Spirit just to say, no, you know, no critical thought, no, I'm going to make you obedient to God's Word. So as those lies come to us, you know, we have to fight those lies and that are coming to us every day from Satan, from the world, from, you know, from our, maybe even those in our family. We have to fight those lies. And the way that we do that is we feed on his truth. We feed on his truth every day and allow his truth to begin to bring us freedom from those strongholds that maybe we have in our lives and those thoughts that keep us from being all that God wants us to be. Well, today the message is realigning my purpose. Realigning my purpose. That I need to allow God to realign my life around his purpose. His purpose. This past year, I've had some back issues, I thought, or, you know, they were so painful that I began, you know, they began to go down my left arm, so I began to think, oh my goodness, it's the heart, you know, and so I went through all that, right, all the stress tests, you know, treadmill, nuclear, and then I had a heart cath, and all that was good. Everything was great, and so I knew it wasn't my heart. I knew there was something else going on, and, you know, in my body, and so I had a friend recommend a chiropractor to me. I've never went to a chiropractor in my life, but I went to this guy. He's an orthogonal, if I said that right, a chiropractor, just kind of dealing with the upper areas of your neck. And so it's amazing what I've learned about my spine. And he kind of took some x-rays and stuff and began to tell me that my axle, my anvil was misaligned, right? My atlas, my axis was misaligned. And because of that, he felt like there was some weakening of my disc and maybe some nerve decline in other areas of my body. And once we got that aligned and it began to hold, the nervous system was able to begin to kind of do its healing throughout my body, and, you know, the tissues begin to heal, and those symptoms begin to resolve themselves. And it's amazing to me how you can have pain in one area, you know, but the problem being another area, right? You know, chiropractors, I think, call it referred pain or reflective pain. It occurs when a problem in one place in the body causes a pain in another place. And I never really thought about that, and that maybe my aches and pains could be caused by something more serious going on elsewhere. But now I'm glad that I know this, and I feel much better and much healthier. I begin to think about that as I kind of put this message together. And I think really that's what happens in all areas of our lives. We have pain or struggles or issues in one place, but the pain is not our problem. The pain is just a reflection of a larger problem. And what we need to do is begin to realign our lives, you know, to the purpose of God, to begin to allow God to realign our purpose in life. And when I do that, when we do that, it brings definition to the other areas of my life. As I align my life with His purpose, it begins to bring balance and alignment in other areas, like my finances or my marriage or my career or my kids or family, really everything. And I really believe this, if you know your purpose and why you are on this planet, it can give you so much more direction and even healing in the other areas of your life. And so why is it? Why is it so important for me to allow God to realign my purpose? Well, the first reason is because I have a purpose. You have a purpose. Every one of us in this room has a purpose. Every one of us has a God-given design purpose. Your life will never make sense, and you will have problems in other areas of your life until you realign your life around God's purpose for you. You'll never be happy until you find out why you're here and then jump in and do it. Because I believe the true secret to happiness is finding and living out your purpose for God today. I love what John Maxwell says. You need to do it today because it's too late for yesterday. You can't be worrying about that. You know, it's too late for yesterday. And you can't depend on tomorrow. So let's live out God's purpose today. Today matters. Today matters. And as outrageous as it is, God not only sent His Son to die for our sins so that we could be reconciled with Him, that heaven would be opened up so that we could spend eternity with God, as if that weren't enough. But God said, hey, I'm also going to give you meaning for your life. I'm going to give you purpose. I'm going to bring you some alignment in your life that is going to bring you adventure and fulfillment and joy and satisfaction like nothing else. That your purpose determines your dignity, how you really begin to feel about yourself. And if you don't have a purpose for your life right now, you kind of feel like you're just existing. You're just existing. You know, why am I here? What am I here for? You know, why do I get up in the morning? Why do I go to work? What's the purpose of my life? And when you get God's purpose for your life and begin to fulfill His plan for which He made you, then you feel better. You feel better about yourself. Nothing is more important after you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior than to get God's purpose for your life. It's the reason that you and I exist. It's your purpose for living. When you don't have to just drift around. It happens only when you discover why God made you and what He wants you to do with your life. When that happens, life begins to make more sense to you. Living without purpose, I think, is the most common reason that people lack passion. Without a purpose for living, you know, why bother? Why put forth the effort? Why get out of the bed in the morning? I mean, if you have no reason for using energy, why expend it, right? Why not just check in and say, been there, you know, done that? I think the fact is, life seems pretty futile if you don't know your purpose. The longer you go through your adult life without clarifying what God's purpose is for your life, the less passion you have. Because passion and purpose kind of go together. On the other hand, when you have that clear purpose, it begins to create passion in your life. The greater your purpose in life, the more passionate you're going to be about living, the more fully alive you're going to be. I mean, if you have a little dinky purpose, you know, that all it is that you live for yourself, then you're not going to have much passion in your life. But if you and I will get God's purpose for your life, which is huge, you know, it's all that God meant for you to be, and you begin to see that you are a part of His kingdom, you're a part of His plan, and you begin to commit yourself to His purpose for your life and sharing His news with other people, you begin to realize you have an enormous purpose, and it creates significant passion for your life. Nothing more significant than being what God made you to be, doing what God made you to do, thinking like God made you to think, sharing in the greatest cause in the world, the advancement and the building of His kingdom. No greater cause. And it creates the greatest amount of passion in your life. Listen, God has a purpose for you, and when you connect with that purpose, your passion will explode and you will be fired up. Psalms 139 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body, O God. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And you might say, yeah, that's right, money. I mean, I have already written some other chapters in that book that have really messed that book up, right? And I would say exactly. That's why you need to allow Him to realign your life around the purpose He created you for. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." Here's what that's saying. It's saying that God has a purpose for your life, right? He had a purpose that He wanted you to do first, and then He made you. He didn't make you and say, "Well, I wonder what we're going to do with old Monty. What are we going to do with that boy? I mean, he's bow-legged. You know, he squeaks. What are we going to do? I mean, he's from Morbury, for God's sake, right?" And he wouldn't really say "for God's sake." I'm going to think about that. He actually would say, "He's from Morbury for my sake." And I begin to go, that's right. I'm from Morbury for His sake, for His glory, to be about His work that He's already prepared in advance. He has a purpose for my life. And we need to begin to understand that and begin to live in that design instead of by default. Because when we live by default, we will let other people, you know, plan our lives for us. I mean, other people will begin to tell us what to do and what not to do. I mean, just think about credit card companies. They got a plan for your life, right? What's in your wallet? They want to know. You go, nothing. You got it all, right? Don't let someone else decide and determine how you're going to live your life. Because we'll begin to start cramming things into our lives that are not the most important. And before you know it, we're doing too much. We're buying too much. We're trying to fit too much in our lives. I mean, the world does that. We talked about this before. The world tries to teach us that more is better, right? So help me out here. If $1 is good, then two are better. Yeah, say. All right. If one Krispy Kreme is good, then two are better. That's right. One car is good, then two are better. One kid is good, then two are... Yeah, some of you didn't want to answer that. I don't know about that. I think they're better, right? If one wife is good, then two are wrong. Wrong. Don't say that. You need to ask yourself a very frank question. Will having more make me happier? Will doing more make me happier? Will having more activities make me more happy? No, it won't. So it's better to have less with a peace of mind than to be busy all the time. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says this, better one handful with tranquility, with peace, with purpose in our lives, than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. You need to allow God to realign your life around His purpose because you have one. He's designed you for a unique purpose. And second is this, we need to do that because time is short. Time is short. I mean, time is short for your life. You're one day closer to death than you were yesterday. All right? Aren't you glad you came today? My name is Monty, and I'm here to encourage you, right? Encourage you. It's true, right? Time is short. And not only just in our own individual lives, but when we begin to think about the end times and, you know, the last days, I really believe, and I share this with you before, that I believe with all my heart that we are in the last of the last days. All through Scripture, the things that say that need to begin to happen are either happening or have already happened. We are in, hey, listen, the time is too, it's short. It's short. There's no time to just to live as a casual Christian. God's calling us to a greater purpose than that. James 4 says this, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money, right? Just oh, whatever, so casual. He says, why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. Time is short. The third reason we need to allow God to begin to realign our lives around His purpose is because it's important. It's what matters most. Again, a lot of things in our lives are not being, a lot of things in our lives that we're doing are not being decided on by what is important, what is the most important. They're being decided on what is urgent, right? Or being decided by someone else. Don't get me wrong, we have a lot of things that we have to do in order to live and survive and be provided for, but we cannot let them dominate our lives. We can't lose, as we talked about in that first message, we can't lose our priorities. You look like you could use a story, so let me get you, can I give you a Boudreaux story? Boudreaux's a dude from lower Louisiana down in the bayou. He's a Cajun, and you know, Boudreaux, you know, it's Super Bowl time. Boudreaux got tickets to the Super Bowl. Can you imagine? He's like, I got tickets to the Super Bowl. I am the man, you know. And so Boudreaux goes to the Super Bowl because it was in New Orleans at the Superdome. He's like, this is my area. This is my people. He gets there. He's on the 50-yard line, 50 rows up, the best seats in the house. The game begins to get started, and the stadium is full. You don't know no empty seats except sitting next to Boudreaux. There's an empty seat next to Boudreaux. And so the guy sitting next to Boudreaux to the empty seat says, you know, what's up with the empty seat? And Boudreaux said, well, you know, it's for my wife, and she passed away. And the guy goes, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I didn't, you know, I'm so sorry. But couldn't you have given the seat to, you know, that ticket to somebody in your family or a friend? I mean, those seats are expensive. He goes, well, I couldn't because they all at her funeral. Boudreaux done got his priorities out of whack, right? Philippians 3, Paul says, but whatever was to my profit, whatever was most important, that I thought was the most important, that I thought was the greatest thing in my life, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared, and I love this, compared to the surpassing greatness. The surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I thought those things were great, but man, knowing the Lord, right, in a very personal way is even great. It's surpassing greatness. It's surpassing greatness. Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them other things rubbish now that I may gain Christ. You know, Satan would rather say to us, come on, Monty, you know, don't go all in with God. You know, don't do that. Live it up, you know. Live it up. Have fun, you know. Do whatever you want to do. Listen, the real fun is living your life knowing that you are making a difference in someone else's life. Going all in. So listen, there's the I believe in Jesus level, okay? And that's cool, that's amazing. Yeah. And then there's a I'm going to go to church as much as possible level. I mean, that's pretty awesome. But there is a I'm going to go all in level. That I'm going to take a plunge and go all in. And let me just say, if you don't do that, if you don't just kind of take the plunge and say, God, I'm going to give you everything, I'm going to surrender all to you, and go all in. If you don't do that, you're going to miss out on the surpassing greatness of God's purpose for you. Psalms 90 says, teach us to number our days, God, and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. John Maxwell has been very instrumental in my life through the years. He's written, 100 books, and I've read many of them on leadership and how to make sure that you're keeping your priorities straight and doing everything you're supposed to be doing, living out your purpose for God. And he has this one teaching, and I think I've taught it before in here. It's called the Rule of Five, where he just says, you know, there's five things. What are five things that you need to do every day? Not all day, but every day. Five things. And so over the years, I've kind of tried to live out that rule of five, and as we step into this new year, I'm making a commitment, renovated commitment to that. And so I thought I'd just share with you my five. Just so, again, you can see what God's doing in my life, and you come up with your own five. Mine are every day I'm going to spend time in prayer. And we'll do that every day. You know, hopefully all day, but maybe not all day, but I'm going to do it every day. Second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to study God's Word, because I got to stand up here and share something with you every week. But I'm going to study God's Word every day. Every day. The third thing, and this is kind of a new one on the list, because I feel like this is a place of God is renovating in my life. The third thing is I'm going to love those closest to me every day. I'm going to love those closest to me better every day. And that begins with Kim and my family, my boys, but also includes you. The fourth thing is this. I'm going to make a difference. I want to make a difference in someone's life every day. And so I was telling staff on Tuesday, you know, that it don't have to be a big thing, right? Don't have to be some major thing, you know, to make a difference in somebody's life. It can be just as simple as a little text. Thinking about you today. Praying for you today. So I'm going to try to make a difference in someone's life every day. And then finally, I'm going to take care of myself every day. Another area that God is working on in my life. Monty, take care of yourself. Listen, it's important. And we begin to let, as we step into 2018, that we begin to let God begin to realign our lives around His purpose. Around His purpose. So I want to talk to you about that renovation work, all right? And I want to give you two things to pray every day of this next week. You know, some of you, well, last week we talked about coming off social media or Netflix and all, you know, some of y'all did that. You know, listen, it's awesome. Hey, it's over. If we leave here today, we can get back on social media. It'd be awesome, right? But I want to give you two things to pray to God every day this week. And the first one is this, to kind of begin maybe the renovation work in your life of aligning your life, realigning your life to His purpose for your life. First is this, God, work in me. God, work in me. You know the little nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. I feel like sometimes we feel like Humpty Dumpty, that we're, you know, that we've fallen, we're broken. God, there's no way you could use me for your purpose because, you know, this stuff in my life. Listen, all of us are in that place. And so this is the prayer. God, will you just work in me, forgiving me, redeeming me, helping me to be whole? Isaiah says, He is the God that will go with you through the deep waters. He said, when you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. I'm going to hold you up. But when you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. God, do your work in me. He's the same God that David talks about in Psalms 56. It says, Oh God, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. And it's just a picture of our God that he cares for us, that he wants to work in us. And those areas of anxiety, of struggles, he wants to kind of, he's there with us. The tears that we share over the things, he's catching each of those. And we just need to say, God, work in me. Work in me. I read this story this past week about this World Triathlon event. It was the last event of the season of the World Triathlon. Y'all know what triathlons are? I don't know which one comes first. You swim a little bit, like 3 miles maybe. You ride a bike. How many miles? A bunch. And then you run a marathon. What is up with that? But these guys are in it. These are two brothers from Britain, and the older brother is in first in the points. All he has to do, I think, is finish second in order to win the whole season. And his younger brother's leading this final race, and they're getting close to the finish line, and then he comes up on his brother, and he sees his brother is becoming dehydrated and beginning to wander back and forth across the road, and he finally collapses. And so this older brother has to decide, okay, do I just keep going because we're right close to the finish line, and I want to make sure I'm going to let somebody else take care of my brother, or do I pick him up? And, of course, the older brother decided, I'm going to pick him up. There was no choice. I'm going to pick him up. And while he was picking him up and going through all that, the guy that was in third kind of passes by and them and goes on and finishes first. And so he's carrying his brother toward the finish line and helping him and carrying him toward the finish line. Then he has to decide, okay, who am I going to push across? Am I going to go across first and then drag my brother across? And he decided just to let his brother stumble across first, and he came in third. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, and I'm just beginning to think that our God has the advantage to look over to the race that he has prepared for us to do, right? The race that we are on in life, the purpose that he has created us for. He sees, he's prepared that for us, right? It's his race that he has for us, his purpose. And he can see when we fall and when we're struggling and, you know, when we're hurting and, you know, and he's a God that knows us. That wants to fulfill his purpose in our life. He wants to get us to that finish line. And so he's a God that will pick us up and will carry us to wherever we need to go in order to get ready to finish the race, whether that might be to a recovery group or to a small group, a life group, or whatever, you know, a Bible study, or just to be a part of a body of believers, whatever. He's a God that wants to carry us to those areas to make us stronger and to get us to a place where we can go across the finish line. But he'll never force his way in. He's a God that says, hey, I want you to invite me. To invite me to come alongside. So this week, begin to pray, God, work in me. The second prayer I want you to pray is this. God, work through me. God, work through me. Because he wants you and I to help others to get to that finish line. I know you recognize this. Everybody's seen this up here. What is this? WD-40. Thanks. Thanks, brother. WD-40, right? Anybody know what WD stands for? No. A good try, though. Good try. You can Google it. Water displacement. Water displacement. Anybody know what 40 stands for? 39 times the inventors failed in inventing this product. And they wanted the number 40 there to remind them all the years that it took to create a product with the multi-use as WD-40 is. And so I thought about that. And I had Kim make me a t-shirt. And it's got my initials on it. MD. And that's how many times, that's my number there. That's how many times I've failed. Give or take a few hundred thousand. Yours might be bigger or smaller, I don't know, but mine's there, and it's probably bigger than that, but that's just the number I chose, all right? Because I think about my life, and, you know, I've made a fool of myself so many times. I've messed up. I've fallen, and, you know, I've sinned against my God, and almost sometimes to the point where I think, man, surely I must be disqualified. Surely I disqualified myself from living out God's purpose for me. And so here's what I think. I think this should be our uniform, the church's uniform. Right? You go out, get your number, right? And we walk around, right? We walk around, and it'll just encourage us because we'll look at each other and go, wow, you too, huh? Wow, your number's really big. It goes all the way around. Kim wanted to do that, by the way. Kim wanted to go, you know, your number really needs to go all the way around. So we got in a little tiff, a little argument, you know. I said, just make it 700. Yeah. So we can say, wow, you too. Because here's what I think. God wants us to take our mess ups, our sin. We have to be careful. I mean, this is our sin, and not hide it. Not hide it, but instead to talk about it and confess it to Him and to others so that you and I can be forgiven and begin to help others experience the same grace that we have received. Right? Paul says it this way in 1 Timothy. I love this passage. He says, here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof, Paul says. Public sinner number one. Of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. And now he shows me off. Evidence of his endless patience. To those who are right on the edge of trusting Him forever. Forever. God, work in me. God, work through me. God, use me. You know, fulfill your purpose in my life so I can help others that are right on the edge. God, right on the edge of trusting you forever, that I can help them come to know you and experience your forgiveness and your grace in the same way that I have, God. God, work through me. I've learned a lot about God's purpose for my life through a lot of different people that God's brought into my life, especially my boys and my dad. I've shared this story with you before, but I learned a lot about God's purpose from Jake, from a lot of different areas of his life and things. But, you know, the one that's always there that God's kind of seared into my memory is when Jake was about 5 years old or so, and he was going with me to take the video back to Blockbuster. You guys don't even know what that means, but back to Blockbuster. And to turn it in, I had to go inside because it was late, and I had to pay some fees because I'm always late. And so he's going to stay in the car, you know, and so I give him a piece of paper to draw on and play with when I go in. It's going to be quick, you know. And as I'm getting out, I look over, and there's a group of motorcycle dudes. And they look kind of shady, to be honest with you. Look a little, I don't know, you know. And so I tell Jake, keep the doors locked, you know, be right back. So I'm kind of watching them as I get out. I go in, I come back out, and Jake is holding something up in the car window toward them. And the guys over there are kind of looking at him going, and I get in the car, I'm going, Jake, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he turns the paper around and he says, Dad, and it says, Jesus loves you. And he said, Dad, they need Jesus. They need Jesus. Learned a lot about God's purpose for me through Jake. It reminded me of John 3:16 and 17, right? It says, "For God so loved the world." I had the students Wednesday night say, let's put our name in there where world is. I always love to put my name in there, so let's do that together. You know, put your name where it says world. You ready? "For God so loved Monty that he gave his only son so that everyone," I love that, "so that everyone," anyone, "who believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it." To save it. Jesus is saying, in effect, here's what I want you to do. Here's your purpose. I want you to help me rescue the world, one person at a time. He's saying, I want my followers to be the ones to bring this monumental news that forgiveness is available through Jesus Christ, that a relationship with God is available, that heaven is available to anyone who opens their heart to God. And I want you to be the ones to bring that news to this world. Think about my oldest son, Hunter. Hunter, when he was graduating from college and going into seminary, him and another guy started a ministry called Avail. It was a ministry to the houseless of Birmingham. And every week they would go down into the tent villages, which were around the train yard underneath the overpasses of downtown Birmingham, and Hunter would meet with those guys in there. And so when I was up there, and it was there on that night, I would go with him. We'd go down in there, and we'd just kind of sit around and build a fire. And they'd warm up some chili and cook some hot dogs, right? And we'd just sit around that fire. And then one of the homeless guys would share a devotion, share a thought from God's Word. It was just amazing. And then they would pray for each other and hold on to each other. And when we finished one night, Hunter said, "Mike, you know, Dad, come with me. I want to go see where Larry is. Larry's not here. You know, I want to check on him." And so we kind of walked through the train yard over to the overpass and kind of climbed up the side of the embankment of the overpass, kind of where the overpass goes and the embankment comes up. There's the little V. Kind of climbed up in there, and sure enough, there's Larry. That's where he lives, his home. We step in there, and I look, and there's, you know, big old thick books Larry loves to read. And so Larry comes stumbling out of the shadows, and he goes, Larry, we just wanted to come and check on you. This is my dad. I just want to come check on him, make sure it's okay. And Larry just kind of begins to start crying. He goes, "Oh, Hunter, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I've been sober for 5 weeks. You gave me a little pen and everything. I was so excited about that. Hunter, I failed. I messed up." And without even hesitating, Hunter said, "It's okay, Larry. God loves you. I still love you, man. We'll just start again tomorrow. Listen, God loves you." And he begins just to tremble there, and he looks at me, and he says, "Mr. Hunter's dad, I don't know why your son loves me so much, but I'm sure glad he does. I learned a lot about God's purpose for me, for my son Hunter." Reminds me of Matthew 25. Jesus says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hands and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" I've learned a lot about the purpose of God. Of course, my dad, you know how important he was in my life, the example he was to me. I did my dad's funeral 4 years ago now, as we were preparing for the funeral on that day, had, you know, just people coming up to me and saying to me, you know, "Monty, you know, because of your dad, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." And then afterwards, people would come and say, "Because of your dad." And one of the guys that even spoke in his service said, you know, that I didn't realize, he said, you know, "Virgil led me to the Lord." Had Wendy's, ladies from Wendy's that they frequented every week come up to me and they go, "Oh, we just love your dad and your mom. Your dad just was so kind to us and introduced Jesus to us, and we're believers because of your dad." My dad loved people because he loved God. And I always think about, you know, what a way to live, right? What a way to live. But even better, what a way to be remembered. I learned a lot about God's purpose for me from my dad. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, and this is his verse, my dad's verse. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. And he did. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. God, work in me. God, work through me. God, use me for your purpose. I love this prayer in Psalms 39. I'll close with this. It says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire life is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. So God, help me to take that thought and allow you to realign my life around your purpose for me. God, do your renovation work. Do your renovation work. God, work in me, and God, work through me. Pray with me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just kind of want to take a moment for you to be alone there in your seat with your God. God that created you. God that loves you. God that wants to be in relationship with you so much that he allowed Jesus to come, his only son, and die on a cross and rise again on the third day so that you could be forgiven and you could experience a personal forever relationship with him. Maybe you're here this morning and the God work in me for you is that you've never surrendered your life to him. You've never given him your life. You've never said yes to him. You've never asked him to come in to be your Lord and Savior. And so maybe that prayer for you this morning is, God, do that. Right where you are, just call out to him. You say, God, I believe that you are my God. And just acknowledge that you've got a lot of mess ups and that your number is really big. And ask him today through what Jesus did on the cross for you to come in and to forgive you. Ask him even now, God, be my Lord, be my Savior. Forgive me. Change me. God, I'll right now commit to you that I'll begin to live my life for you. And if you pray a prayer like that to him, God, work in me in that kind of way. God gives us the assurance in his word that he steps in even now, right in this moment, and he forgives, and you're able to experience his grace and his mercy. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, he says, hey, I'm a God that wants to forgive you today. And you can have that assurance that even now you are his child, you are forgiven. He is your Savior, he is your Lord, and he will never leave you or forsake you. And he will begin to do his work in you and through you. maybe that prayer for you, if you are a follower of Christ, is God, work in me. There's some things that I'm struggling with, God, some sin habits that I still have in my life, God, some addictions, some anxiety, some stuff, God, that I need you to begin to forgive me and to heal me from, and begin to bring me, realign me into your purpose for my life, so that those things can begin to fall away and I can be healed and whole and ready to be used by you to help someone else experience that grace and that mercy and that forgiveness. Maybe you need to allow God to come and pick you up, that you've fallen or you've messed up or stuff's going on, and He just needs to pick you up. And maybe for you that means to allow Him to bring you to this place, to become a part of this body of believers so that you can grow in your relationship with Him. Or maybe for you it's to follow Him in baptism as a statement of, you know, you have decided to follow Him forever in your life. Maybe it's to be a part of a life group or a small group so that they can come alongside and together you can be held accountable and allow God to begin to give you confidence and the strength to live out the purpose that He's called you to. Whatever those prayers mean for you, God, work in me, God, work through me, will you just give those to Him today and throughout this week? Allow Him to begin to bring change in your life and in your relationships. As you allow Him to realign your purpose, your call in life according to what He has created you for. So God, hear the prayers of your people and answer and respond and draw them unto you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.